Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Church of God radio broadcast. This is Fred Barrows, and we thank you for joining us here today. It is our desire to lift up Jesus Christ through the precious preaching of the gospel. This ministry comes to you from the Church of God at God's Acres at 675 North Cedar Street here in Newark, Ohio. And now we'd like to introduce to you our evangelist, Brother Larry Dishman, who has a timely message from God's Word.
I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with us to the book of Exodus 8, verse number 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, "Go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs, and the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and in thy house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy ovens, and in the kneading troughs, and the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying to Aaron, Stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, and over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt." I'd like to stop right there. We're going to talk about these frogs in Egypt. There were frogs everywhere. Frogs in the bedroom. Frogs in the bed. There'd be frogs between the sheets, frogs in the pillowcases. A woman would open the oven and there would be frogs in the oven. A man would put his hand in his pocket and there'd be frogs in his pocket. Little boys walking down the street, frogs between his toes. There'd be piles of dead frogs, smelly, rotten, awful frogs, croaking frogs. Frogs on your dishes, frogs in the milk, frogs in the flour, frogs in the meal, frogs in the sugar, frogs everywhere, frogs in the parlor, frogs in the yard. Their ugly shape, their croaking nose, their disagreeable smell would make frogs peculiarly obnoxious. Their abounding numbers mark the severity of this judgment. Escape from their scourge was an impossibility. The frogs not only covered the land of Egypt, but they invaded the homes of the Egyptians and defiled their cooking utensils. The sound of those frogs, no doubt, was deafening. Frogs heaped up in smelling mountains, millions more came from the rivers to take their place. Pick up a cup, get a drink of water, there's a frog in your cup. Draw water from the well and get a bucket of frogs. Frogs on everything, frogs under everything. Teachers trying to teach, competing with a room full of frogs. You could not walk without frogs being under your feet. Try sitting down, but every seat is filled with frogs. Try dressing, only to find out there's frogs in your clothes. Be still for a moment and a frog has landed on your head. Try sitting for a moment and you have a lap full of frogs. They're resting there, several of them on your lap. Every bowl, every pot, there's frogs in them all. So you get you a pan of water and get some soap and you're going to wash the dishes, and frogs are jumping in the water. Yes, you sit down to eat, and there's a frog sitting on your plate. Try to take a bath, reach out to get the soap, and you got a frog in your hand instead. Turn over at night to give your wife a kiss, and you find out you kissed a big frog instead. I guess if you like frog legs, you're in business. But even if you like frog legs, when you see this many frogs, stinking frogs, you'll never eat a frog again. Boy, that'd be terrible, wouldn't it? Think about it in our day. Frogs everywhere. Frogs in your car, driving down the road. What a terrible plague. The scriptures consider frogs dirty. The Bible says in Revelation 16, 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them together at the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Frogs are used to symbolize the powers of evil. Frogs stand for uncleanness. The issuing forth of the frogs made manifest the character of the devil's work in uncleanness. Now, on top of all of this, frogs were considered sacred in Egypt, and you were not allowed to kill the frogs. Thus, the frogs became a terrible, terrible nuisance in the land, and they wasn't allowed to kill them. And I want to say something. What becomes an idol to us will someday become a plague to us. Anything that gets between us and God will eventually curse us. You mark that down. But finally, Pharaoh had enough. So Pharaoh summoned Moses and asked him to end the plague of frogs. Now go back to verse number 8. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from the people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain only in the river? And he says something that I cannot believe. I checked my Bible to make sure I was reading out of the King James Version. He said, tomorrow. That's the most amazing thing in the Bible. Got frogs everywhere. Terrible, terrible plague. Moses said, okay, when would you like for me to pray to God to get them removed? Tomorrow. That's crazy. Do it tomorrow. Why tomorrow? Title of my message is One More Night with the Frogs. Pharaoh said, just give me one more night with the frogs. Oh, there are a lot of people just like that. Amen. He said, get rid of them tomorrow. If I was in this situation, I thought, yesterday, right now, get rid of them instantly. Oh, you can do it tomorrow. I've never been able to figure that out. Frogs in the food, frogs in the bed, frogs in the clothes, frogs everywhere. Okay, when you want me to get rid of them? Oh, tomorrow. If Pharaoh had truly been thinking properly, he would have said, right now. Maybe he was hoping the frogs would go away by themselves, and then he wouldn't have to let the children go after all. Or maybe he was hoping before daybreak, the magician would be able to remove the frogs. One more night with the frogs. I have people talk to me all the time, tell me what a bad condition the place is where they go to church. They come to a revival and say, we don't hear preaching like this anymore. Why don't you get out of there tomorrow? Talk to people sometimes that's lost out in sin. And I say, why don't you get saved? They tell me that they can't sleep at night, that they're afraid they're going to go out into eternity without God. And They lay awake at night and think about if they died in this condition. They think about if the end of time would come. And don't you get saved? I'm going to tomorrow. One more night with the frogs. Talk to people that's bound by the habits of life. They're bound by drugs. They're bound by alcohol. They're bound by sin. And you can tell that sin is putting a mark upon them, and they're getting more and more bound up by the devil. You'd think they'd want loose from all those frogs. They say tomorrow. Isn't that amazing? Listen to me, friend. Tomorrow is a word that robs heaven of its fairest jewels and makes hell the capital of immortal souls. And what makes hell the capital of immortal souls? Tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. How could he possibly chosen one more night with those frogs? What a strange decision. However, before we pass judgment on Pharaoh and conclude that he was out of his right mind, before we assign him to the psychiatric ward for observation, let me ask you the question. What about the frogs in your lives? I'm talking about the frogs of unbelief and the frogs of an uncontrollable anger, the frog of unforgiveness, the frog of bitterness, the frog of holding grudges. Them frogs, all of them. What is it that plagues you when you get up in the morning, that plagues you throughout the day until you go to sleep at night, that you're a frog? What is it in your life that is a constant source of harassment? It's your frogs. Moses was sent by God to deal with the frog problem in Egypt. And Jesus Christ was sent by God the Father to deal with the frog situation in your life. God was standing by. He was ready to remove the frogs that troubled the Egyptians whenever they were willing to ask him. Likewise, the Lord is standing by, ready and willing to deal with the troublesome frogs in our life whenever we're willing to ask him to intervene. May God help us. Don't spend one more night with the frogs. It's foolish to put off obeying the gospel and thereby spending one more night with the frogs, because the Holy Spirit calls today. The message of the Holy Spirit to every last soul is be saved today. The devil says, wait, put it off till tomorrow. God says, come right now. The Bible says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And one thing for sure, thank God, the day of grace is still open. The Savior is still pleading with men and women and boys and girls. The gates of heaven are still open. The Holy Spirit of God says, but now's the time, not tomorrow. The Spirit of God seeks men who are lost, and he convicts them, he warns them, he strives with them in order that they might be saved. But remember, God's Spirit will not always strive with man. He may not call tomorrow. The Bible says in Isaiah 55 and verse number 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. This implies the Spirit of God may not always call. So many have the idea they can get saved whenever they get ready. But the fact is, you will get saved if you ever get saved while the Holy Spirit of God is talking to you. The songwriter said, there is a line that's drawn by rejecting the Lord where the call of his Spirit is lost as you hurry along with the pleasure mad throng. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost that your soul should be lost? Though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it could be that the line you have drawn, have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Just one more night with the frogs. Let me have one more night. Let me go home unsaved one more night. To say yes to Jesus means life
To say no to Jesus means death. To say yes to Jesus means heaven. To say no to Jesus means hell. God Almighty draws a deadline across every sinner's path. And on one side there's hope. On the other side there's death. Don't cross that line. Reason why you should not choose to spend one more night with the frogs is because the Holy Spirit is calling you today. And you shouldn't trifle with the sweet Spirit of God. It is foolish to put off obeying the gospel and in so doing, therefore spend one more night with the frogs, because the day could come when God would give up on you. I pray that he don't. But that could happen. Amen. Consider the people in Noah's time, some 1,065 years after Adam, some 427 years before Abraham. The very thoughts of men's heart, the Bible says, was on evil continually. And he tells us in Genesis 6:3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was on evil continually. And the Lord, it repented him that he made man, and he said, I'm going to destroy man whom I have made. But when he sealed the door of the ark, it was too late for any man to open it. This is serious this morning. Friends, they had spent one more night too many with the frogs. God gave them up. God gives a person an opportunity to be saved. But when that heart comes so depraved, so much repeated rebellion to God, the conscience is no longer open to the Word of God. No wonder the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, and giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That's serious. A conscience seared with a hot iron. It is folly to spend one more night with the frogs, because the heart constantly gets harder. The heart of every man, every woman, boy and girl becomes more hardened every time he puts off the gospel invitation. The Bible says, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The hardening of the heart is one of the most terrible calamities that can come upon a lost sinner on this side of eternal destruction. And one reason why the great majority of those who are saved have been saved in childhood and in youth is simply because the child has the advantage, the young person has the advantage of a tender heart. The child has a tender conscience that grieves over sin. The child is easily moved by the fear and the punishment and the love of God. The child knows it's dangerous to go on in sin. One who continues in sin, ignores the call of the Spirit of God, will find his heart has become calloused and hardened and accustomed to sin. Oh, the danger of a hardened heart. That innocent little child born into the world with bright eyes and happy smiles, a sweet disposition, gradually becomes hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And each day he puts off the call of the Spirit, there is less and less and less concern for the things of God, and more concern for the things of this world, and the heart becomes more and more hardened. It all happens because people've got the attitude, tomorrow, one more night with the frogs. It's folly to spend one more night with the frogs because the conscience can become hardened. Consider, friend, would you listen to me? Every brazen infidel was once a tender-hearted child who may have trembled at the very thought of his sin and judgment. But my friend, years of hardening his heart made him what he is. Think with me, every drunkard was once a pure, innocent child, likely beloved of his parents, promising a great future. Every painted prostitute was once a sweet-faced little girl, precious and gentle, with holy possibilities. But now the passing days of unrebuked sin in her life have led to an indifference about holy matters. Every thief that's locked up in prison was once an innocent little child. Every murderer was once an innocent, tender little child. Every serial killer was one time a tender, soft-hearted little child. Every rapist was once an innocent child. And I've read that 5 of every 6 conversions take place before the age of 20. 11 of 12 conversions take place before the age of 25. 1 out of 1,000 conversions take place after the age of 30. Don't get me wrong. It's not impossible to be saved in old age, but it's unusual. It can happen. It can happen today, but you gotta quit saying tomorrow. One more night with the frog. If you're a hardened sinner, a drunkard in the gutter, a prostitute, an infidel, whatever your condition, Jesus died for you. There's a new life of joy awaiting for you if you will consent with your will. He's calling for you today. Someone has likened sin to a thread. And it said, if another person wrapped a thread around you once, it would be easy to break loose and become free. But what if you stood there until they wrapped that thread around you 100 times? What if you stood there till they wrapped that thread around you 200 times or more? Eventually, several strands of that little thread would become so strong it would prevent your escape. Sin works in much the same way. Friend, if you would choose to obey God when you have the opportunity, if you would turn from sin when you first realize you're getting involved in it, it would be much easier. But too many people are like Pharaoh rather than to break loose. Let me spend one more night with the frogs. Remember David? Rather than turning from his lust when he saw Bathsheba bathing, he chose to spend one more night with the frogs and eventually committed adultery. David could have avoided adultery if he would have broken the thread of sin when he first lusted after Bathsheba. But that little thread, just one time wrapped around David, became David's cocoon, which led to him not only committing adultery, but committing murder. Why didn't David take care of this sin when it would have been so simple to defeat? Because of one more night with the frogs. The question is a little difficult when we apply it to our lives. Why do you spend one more night with your frogs? Why do you continue to play around with those little things you say? Why is it that you say, next week I'm gonna do something about this. Next month I'm gonna start doing different. In the near future, I will do something about this. I'm gonna become a Christian, but not today. Sadly, we need to remember the sober words of James. For what is your life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time, vanisheth away. Would you listen to me? I don't ever want to be the proud owner of a hard heart. Do you? How serious that is. Listen to me, friend. When it comes to spiritual things and things that can affect the destiny of our soul, We got to quit spending nights with the frogs. My friend, if you choose to continue to spend night after night with your frogs, you might say it would be unfair for God to close the door of opportunity on me. But if you turn your back on the invitation of Christ, you are the one that's turning your back on God's love, on the prayers of your loved ones, turning your back on the message that God is sending your way. The desire of Pharaoh to sleep another night with the frogs is a vivid picture of sinners who put off salvation to a more convenient season. Like Felix, after he heard the message that Paul brought, you know what Felix said in so many words? Paul, I want to get saved, but I want to spend another night with the frogs when it's convenient for me. But the Bible says in Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Someone said tomorrow is a period of time found nowhere except on a fool's calendar. There are certain things you must not procrastinate about because it can cost you your soul. It can cost you being lost forever. This morning you know the things that God has spoken to you about. His Holy Spirit has been faithful to bring things to your heart and mind. What are the frogs in my life? I tell you, friend, don't spend one more night with the frogs.
Thank you, Brother Dishman, for those sound words of admonition. Hopefully, you will take this message to heart. If you would like to receive a copy of today's radio broadcast, please give us a call at 740-345-1213. We want to remind you of our periodical called The Gospel Trumpeter. If you would like to have an issue of that sent to your home each month at no cost, please give us a call at that same number, 345-1213. Or for any previous issues that you would like to have, please browse our website at godsacres.org. I see that our time has gone again, but before we leave, this is Fred Barrows saying thank you for listening today, and hopefully you will join us again next week at the same time. So until then, we trust that God will give you a good week.